I can only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone. That's all, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall. And a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark. We hit this button, we hit that button, and we got some action here. Don Mann with us, the author of OK God, Now What? It's how political slogans influence the vote. Don's main desire has always been to apply religious slogans to business and life, thinking for godly and prosperous results. He's a scientist. He's a business growth expert who's been a guest on many, many radio shows. He served as senior management position in the banking and the chemical industries, and currently president and CEO of Right Man Consulting. He's also on the Amazon bestseller, co-author, The Law of Business Attraction. He's on the faculty of the Entrepreneur School, CEO Space International, is a roundtable expert witness in business management, banking, manufacturing, explosives, and ordnance. And his business plans have won top awards in New Jersey and Delaware. And let us say, Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome. Glad to be here, Michael. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, and in your spare time, what do you do? By the way, Don, what was it about, you know, the book in and of itself, just the idea how political slogans influence the vote? What was it that caught your attention to cause you to put this to pen?
Okay, what caused me to put it to pen was the reality that it's how the brain works, and then that translates to the best of marketing we've seen in advertising and in political slogans and what they do with people. What prompted the book itself was I had to explain to somebody how it was that I went into a company that was failing, and with those same people in 6 years turned them around to where they were making $500 million in business. And the challenge was that I was a highly technical area, and not to mention I had to keep my own job in the process.
Sure.
This was all high technology. This wasn't normal small business or, you know, business issues. And the scientists and engineers who were there were the only ones in the universe who knew how to fix the problem. And I had to keep them from getting into fear over the conditions, because when you get into fear, your brain shuts down, your creativity goes down, and you start accusing others of what your problems are instead of owning the problem to fix it.
By the way, let me jump in just for a second, and just to make sure we get some put it on a practical level. What we're talking about is brain science here. Advertising, recognizable images that trigger a response from you. So if you see something you recognize, you see yourself within whatever it is that's being presented, then all of a sudden you become part of it. It's an actual change in brain chemistry. And I think that's the same thing we deal with, Don, when we deal with change. If you feel bad all the time, then the chemicals in your brain are one thing, and if you start to feel good, it's something else. I think it's learning how to trigger that. But when we look at advertising, the neuromarketing today, it's that recognizable markers that cause cause responses.
Yes, that's right. The endorphins and dopamines, those other chemicals, to respond. And when they do, you're subject to them. In other words, they do impact how you feel and what you do. And if you don't have a greater vision, they're going to suck you in.
No, absolutely. And by the way, when it really comes down to it, you smile, you get, you know, you get an endorphin. You feel bad, you get something else. You feel good, you get dopamine. And I really believe when it really comes down to it, what we see gets mirrored within us in the emotional part of the brain, causes a chemical reaction, and then, quote unquote, it gives us the reason to buy. And that's really the end result of all of it. It's some of the things like, you know, in OK God, What Now, some of those symbols, some of those tags, you look at that and all of a sudden you realize something within yourself and it becomes recognizable and you move through it. It creates the action.
Absolutely. So part of what happens for us in terms of what was happening to me and the situation that caused me to write the book was I was in a position where people came to me and said, there's no way you can succeed. Better men than you have failed. And I went to the town, and the town, this was the life survival for the town. And thirdly, the people didn't like me when I showed up. I was the big guy from corporate.
Yeah.
I wasn't somebody that they trusted. So I had a pretty big deck of cards stacked against me. So the first thing I did was got on my knees. and I started to seek the Lord on a regular basis, and I discovered that the issue was first get my attitude right, and then I could start working with the people. But my key was to make sure they didn't fall into fear, that they didn't lose creativity, because I had to get them to be creative in a very difficult situation.
Oh, sure. And if they look at you and they're frightened because they get a different symbol of you than who you really are, once that symbol changes, once you change yourself and they see you in a different light, and it's not something conscious, it's unconscious, then all of a sudden everything is different. You're one of them. You're there to relate. You know, you've got the empathy. You've got the understanding that you know what the problem is and you can fix it. Now, all of a sudden, it's a completely different story.
Right. And part of what that meant for me was that I had to make sure that my style would accommodate and would work for them. And basically what happened to me was, as I started studying the Bible, reading the Bible on a regular basis, I spent roughly an hour a day in prayer and an hour a day reading the Scriptures, was my attitude adjusted to where I could start looking at them. And one of the secrets I discovered was I started calling them up to be the best of what they could be. I had no idea this was the main message in the Bible, but it was just something that came out of me. And if, you know, they were the top engineers and scientists in the world, then they were the ones that could do it, and they would do it, and we were going to work for it together to get it done. And, you know, they rose to that challenge. They did it. Not only did they do it for that one, but eventually the culture and the business changed, and they went on to great success. I don't know how long it's lasted, but I know at least for 10 years that culture change was still working because they were working with the right attitudes and how to approach problems.
Well, they redefined themselves. I think that's what I'm listening to you say. In another word, to paraphrase it, they redefined that foundation, that base from which they work from. You redefine that, you do a little bit of shift in the way you think about things, and everything is the same, but yet you're responding and reacting differently.
Right, and that's first of all, I was the first one that had to respond differently.
Sure.
Right? I was the guy that had to make it happen. And so what I did was I put the process I used into, okay, God, now what, so that anybody can use that same process.
Now, by the way, in business process, it's a relationship. And it's the same thing with the relationship at home, whether you're in church or anywhere you're going. It's the relationship that you have with yourself that connects with other people. Because if you don't have that relationship with yourself, if you don't get what that is inside of you, you can't give anything to anybody that you don't have yourself. And I think that's really where it starts.
Absolutely. And that's part of what I got from the process I went through preparing myself every day to go deal with what was happening in the world. What's happened since then, when I developed a process that's in Okay, God, Now What, I shared it with one guy named James. And as he started to do the process, he started to see his life transform, his marriage transform, his business transform, his relationships transform. And this guy was a minister. He had already been preaching the Bible for years. But when he saw the program and how biblically sound it was, he dived in and started getting the results in the process.
Now, by the way, a prime example of this also, and not to get political, whatever side of the aisle that you're on, but when you go back to the original Obama the candidacy, and the promise of, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, we're going to give you this. That's what you talk about, what's in the book, the heart writing, and how the politicians and advertisers use it to sway voters and move people to action. There were, I think a great example of that was, I think it was 6 months ago, there was an African-American woman in New York, naked, standing out in front of her house. And the cops were there, and she's, I'm not moving. You know, we were promised that we would get food, we would get our rent paid, and on and on and on, which caused them to vote. But when she saw she didn't get it, it's a whole different story.
Right. And so part of what happens with politicians is they try to build you up into a fever pitch before the election. But they don't do it long enough so that it gets written on your heart. It just keeps your emotions stirred at the cognitive mind level. And so when you go in and vote, you voted under this emotional sway, but, you know, it's not like when you sign a contract and you have 3 days to a cooling off or rescission for it. You can't pull back your vote once you've already made it.
True.
And so that's part of what the persuasion process is for the politicians, is to keep striking and finding those nerves and then find the slogans that people will identify with and put themselves into, and so that they can then agree with what's going to happen and vote for that person. But that's the same thing that we have for us in the Bible, is God has given us his own message, and the more we identify with it and him with us, then we will also be motivated to do things that will support and produce success, no matter what it is.
Okay, let's touch on something else now, and I want to, it's a talking point of yours, which is so true. How to save $1,800 a year or more. 75 to 90% of all medical problems are due to toxic, ungodly thinking habits. Your mind will cause the problems. The chemicals, let's go back to that. The chemicals in your mind. Your brain is an electrochemical factory, and it sends out signals to certain part of your body, your heart, your liver, your lungs, your digestive system, to be able to operate and to move through the central nervous system. Now, if you're upset, if you're having those kind of thoughts, you change the chemistry in your brain. And those neurons that are supposed to get to where they are supposed to get to create a healthy life for you, they don't get there. And the problem is the immune system starts to fall. So effectively, it's what you think can cause all of those medical problems.
Oh, it's even more extensive than that, Michael. What happens is that every kind of habitual thought that you have, regular thought you have, has a neuron supporting it. And those neurons are of two different kinds. One is a smooth kind, looks kind of like a spaghetti strand, smooth and tight, and nothing leaks out of it. The other one looks kind of like a gnarled tree root or a sponge. And every time that neuron fires, the chemicals inside the cell leak out into the bloodstream. And so as you think those ungodly, negative, toxic thoughts, the cellular material inside the cells comes out and poisons the body, much like what happens when somebody has an ulcer. You know, they're fine until the acid gets into the rest of your body, then it's really painful. So what happens is you continually think the negative toxic thoughts, you're continually putting those toxins into your bloodstream and over time wearing down your body. Once you learn how to think godly thoughts, and that's what the purpose of the affirmations are in the book, is you can reassign the emotions attached to those thoughts, and actually those neurons will heal, and you'll quit poisoning yourself every time you think those thoughts. The expression, worried yourself sick, is technically and exactly true.
No, absolutely, no question about it. Another thing that I think is important that you address is education killing you. Subconscious mind writing is different than cognitive mind education because it is in the unconscious that completely controls what you do. The unconscious mind doesn't speak in a language that we would understand. It speaks in a language of pictures and symbols. Every word you have has a corresponding mental image. And when you come down to it, the learning is cognitive learning is, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. But the learning of the mind is what's modeled out there, what you perceive things to be. And it's a completely different story.
Absolutely. Part of what happens is, and this is the great disappointment that people have, you've gone through an education system here in America where you do cognitive mind learning in the classroom. And basically your goal is to pass the test. And then once you pass the test, the information disappears because you never stayed with it long enough to make heart rating happen. So what happens is when you get to be an adult and you want to start to develop right skills and habits are successful, you see people things, I wish I could do that or do this or that kind of thing, and you try to apply cognitive mind learning techniques to it, it doesn't work because you don't write it on your heart. When you learn how to write things on your heart intentionally, then you can produce those results, but they take a lot longer. So you can get a degree, a certification, a diploma with cognitive learning. But if you want life skills, you've got to do it with subconscious mind training. And that takes longer with the material. What they've discovered is that in order for you to take one little aspect and make it into a behavioral change, it takes 90 days of 2 to 6 hours a day of what they call neural pressure, working on those thoughts and attitudes before it becomes a life skill or a life talent.
And it's also repetition.
Absolutely. That's part of the neural pressure I talked about, is you continually repeat again and again the same material, which is not new material, but the same material, because that's what tells the subconscious mind what's important.
Yeah, and by the way, there is a language to reach the subconscious mind, because I think the problem that most people have, if you hear the subconscious mind, you think you can just touch it. Well, you can't. There's a filtering process between conscious and subconscious, and it's like an inhibitory process. It keeps things from that unconscious mind. And I think what happens when we talk about advertising and slogans and the rest of it, what occurs is it breaks that filtering process, the system down, and allows things to go into the unconscious mind, and then you start to respond. So there's a language there, and it's a language, again, of pictures and symbols, but there's a way to get to it. And one of the greatest ways to get to it is, I'll give it to you this way. Start watching TV commercials. And what you'll see, for the most part, you'll see 90% of them, there'll be a woman with a good-looking rear end, quote-unquote. And if you're a man, your eyes go to that. That's your conscious mind. But what they're saying now is going into the unconscious and allows you to respond. So it's the things that you're not aware of that that cause the most problems in your life.
Absolutely. It's almost like you have two different persons living inside there.
Sure.
Because you're not aware of what's going on. They work very well. It's a precision device of beyond imagination and magnitude, how well it works. And the secret tool is habits. Habits make it very fast and efficient. So once you build a habit in the subconscious mind, it then becomes something almost automatic that you can do. And so when they do advertising and political slogans, what they're trying to do is tap into your emotional habits.
Sure. And I think one of the greatest things that the Democrats are saying right now is the Republicans love guns and hate women. I mean, look what that does. If you trigger something, you know, if you've had a woman who's had a bad relationship, if you've had a woman who somehow in her life has been controlled, whatever, those things are recognizable. You're familiar with the somatic marker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what that is. It is a recognizable, familiar example triggering an unconscious reaction. And really, when they create things like that, then they're going to get people to follow. They follow. They don't know why they're following. But now, you know, here's somebody who understands me. The world is against me. They hate me. And I think that in and of itself is some of the strength of some of the things that we're seeing politically now.
Yeah, and part of what we want to do, and that's part of what's in the power of what's in OK God Now What, is for how you can, if you're aware of the process that's being done to you, you can, as you said, you can put a barrier between what they're trying to do and what you actually respond with.
Sure.
You can look at it objectively and not just with your subconscious mind emotionally. So part of what happens is in the process is you continually build affirmations, and the best affirmations in the world are the ones that God says about you, which is what's in my book, so that you can then look from a different perspective and make decisions that are based on a combination of an integrated mind, not a mind driven to one side or the other.
No, absolutely. And by the way, with affirmations, most people say get a positive thought over and over and over again. But they're, most of the time that doesn't work. There's a way to do an affirmation. Basically, you take the whatever it is you want to accomplish. You know, I'm a great guy. Well, you sit down and you say, I'm a great guy. And then you write down all the things that come up that stop you from being that. And then in that third column, all the way at the bottom, when you've run out of things, then you create an affirmation that the mind, that unconscious mind, will accept. I'm willing to learn how to be a great guy. Now the mind accepts that. It's good. The affirmation works, and you make it stronger and more direct as it goes along. But I think that's one of the problems when people are dealing with something like that, is that unconscious mind doesn't accept it. It battles it and it fights it. But if you get it to a point where you've got something acceptable and you've got the tools and the structure to do so, the world changes.
Well, part of it is the secret is to understand that the purpose of the subconscious mind is to keep you in your past normal.
Yeah.
And it takes 90 days minimum of 2 to 6 hours a day of neural pressure, the repetition, the visualization that you're talking about, per day to make it change in 90 days.
Yeah.
If you do less effort, it takes longer time. What I noticed was in the turnaround of companies and divisions that I've done, that it normally took, that I sort of after discovering some of this, took about 6 months of being able to control the environment of the people, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, before their decisions started to get better, before their approach to issues started to get better.
Sure.
So what I've done in the process of this is I make available for anybody who's listening and wants it, is I have a set of free affirmations, top 10, that if people will contact me at my website, which is called okgodnowwhat.com, I'll be glad to send them a starter list of affirmations to get going that have the kind of statements you talk about already in them, because the requirements for good affirmations are already in the Bible scriptures.
Sure. And by the way, Don, we're starting to run out of time now. One more time, please, slowly with your website.
Okay, the website is called, just like the title of the book, okgodnowwhat.com. That's okgodnowwhat.com. Send me an email. Contact me. I'll be glad to send you the top 10 list, and you can get started doing these affirmations that God has designed to produce success in your life.
Wonderful. Hey, by the way, thank you so much for being here. I've appreciated your time.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, and thank you very much for the opportunity. I enjoyed being with you also.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.